Thank you for listening to this message from Sovereign Way Christian Church. At Sovereign Way, we long to be biblical people doing biblical things the biblical way. Our pastors desire to teach expositionally through the Bible, making the meaning of the passage the meaning of the message. The message you are about to listen to was recorded live at one of our services. For more information about the church, you can go to sovereignway.org, or if you'd like to contact us, you can email us at info@sovereignway.org.
So honored to be here this evening with you. My name is George Saik. I was born in Sudan. I grew up in Sudan, but my grandparents from Syria. I came in 1996 to the United States, and my heart was to reach out to the Muslim in America here. And what an opportunity we have in this great nation. Wherever we go, we see Muslims today around us. Especially where our main office is in Orange County area, and we see many, many Muslims around us, God bringing from all across the world, where we can have the freedom to share the gospel with them here in the United States. Every Friday, our ministry, we go to the mosques. We stand outside the mosque as Muslims coming out. We offer Bibles, tracts, and we seeking opportunities to talk to them. It's just been awesome. On the 30th, Lord willing, of this month, we will be meeting at Denny's on Main Street and the freeway. And after that, we're going to be going to the mosque. There's two mosques, actually, right after each other, in less than a block between them in Victorville. And if you have Friday off and you would like to come with us, we'll be meeting around 11:30 for lunch. And we go to the mosque around 1:15. Afternoon, but if you cannot join us in person, you can join us by the Spirit and pray for us. Put a note and remember to pray for us during that time. We definitely need your prayers. MinistryToMuslims.com is our website, and we're trying to encourage people all across America to take that advantage of the opportunity to reach out to these people here in this country. This is Paul's prayer. But it is also my prayer toward the Muslim people. It is Paul's prayer toward Israel. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayers to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. The Muslim people, I was born among them. I grew up among them. And I know they are so passionate for what they believe. They think they worship the same God as us. They think that because the Quran, from beginning to end, claimed to be revealed by the same God of the Bible. They think they're worshiping our God, but absolutely no. And we're going to know why he's not the same God. But God is able to hear their cry when they are really seeking him. Many Muslims are really wanted to obey God. In Islam, they have to pray five times a day. They have to wash themselves before prayers. They have to do all these things. But still, there's no assurance of salvation in Islam. And they are obedient to Allah to the point that they're willing to die for him because he commanded them to die for him. But what an opportunity when these people come to know Christ. They will have the same commitment. They will be willing to die for Christ, but not carrying a weapons, but carrying the word of God, the good news to share with relatives and people across their nation. Nations, not one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time. I pray, Lord, that you accomplish, Lord, what you brought me here for, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you may give us a heart for these people, Lord. I pray, Lord, that open our eyes, Lord, to see the opportunity we have, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Who's the God of this world? Satan. in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not. The God of this world blinded their eyes. And the crazy part, you're going to be shocked by this passage from the Quran. In chapter 3, verse 54, it says, they were deceiving and Allah was deceiving, for Allah is the best of the deceiving ones. By his own admission, he's the father of lies. He is the best of all deceivers in the Quran. Why I'm telling you this verse, not for you to go and share it with your Muslim friend. They know. It's for us to recognize these people are not our enemy. They are victims of this God of this world, blinded their eyes. They are blinded. We want to see them coming to know Christ. We need to pray that God will open their eyes. In part of the deception in Islam, they will change the translation to make it acceptable by Westerns. They will change the word deception to planner, to make it Allah the best of all planners. But if I ask any Muslim, if you ask your Muslim friend, would you trust Allah's plan for your life? They will say, absolutely. Let's translate chapter 7, verse 99. Let's use the word deception to planner, where they feel secure from plan of Allah, none feel secure from the plan of Allah, except people shall lose. And here referring to the day of judgment. If you trust Allah, you will lose in the day of judgment. It's very sad. No matter what, they have a problem if they want to translate it deception or planner. But we know our God, his plan is for good for his people. We can trust our God. He's always the same yesterday and today and forever. We can put our trust in him. And let's tell them about him. Tell them about our God and they will desire to know him. You don't have to attack the God of Islam and stuff like that. I do believe sometimes God can open a discussion where he can go to these topics. But you have to pray for wisdom when it is right time to speak about these subjects when you go and to attack Islam. The Arab Middle Eastern culture, if you know them and you eat with them and they know your motives that you care about them, after that, if you discuss any topic, they will not be offended because they know your motives because you care about them. But from your first conversation, you cannot just start your conversation. Your God is the best of all deceivers and all this stuff. Because my two brothers are pastors in Sudan right now. In Sudan, we have 2.5 million Christians being killed. And mostly because of their color, because mostly they are black. They're being persecuted by the Arab Muslims. And my brother, he always say, don't cut someone's nose, and after that, give him a flower to smell, because he's not going to be able to. The thing that, just tell them about our God, and they will desire to know him. Their God, the relationship is a master and a slave. They can never call God their father. They can, even in the heaven of Islam, where Adam, or the garden, let's say, where Adam and Eve was, God was not exist there. God was never walked with Adam and Eve. They never have that relationship. When they hear us praying to our God, they will, wow, you're talking to him like he's right next to you. This is something that not found in Islam. God is far away from his people. He will never have that relationship with his people. They don't have that in Islam. I see many Muslims coming to Christ as they've been drawn to the fact that we are able to have relationship with our God. Tell them about that. Tell them your story, because it's not really your story. It's Jesus' story in your life, how he changed your life, how he opened your heart, how he changed you. They will desire to know him. There is fear, and that's the main problem we have as a church. We're afraid to reach out to the Muslims, maybe because of September 11, maybe because of the attack in San Bernardino, maybe because of the violence that proven all across the world by the sword of Islam. Don't listen to our media. Islam is a religion of terrorism. I cannot water it down. I cannot soft it down. Our media using a lot of watered down verses and passages from the Quran, like no compulsion on religion. Whoever killed one man, like killing all humanity. That's exactly, it is found in the Quran. But that's not the final orders of Islam. Islam, there is something called abrogation theology. When Allah speaks now, He will cancel what He spoke before. He changes His mind. Praise God, our God never changes His mind. But when Allah spoke in the beginning, peaceful verses, because Muslims were minority. They wanted to be nice, but they wanted to gain people. But when they have the upper hand, when they become a stronger army and military, now the final commands is to destroy, to kill in the name of Allah. This is the final revelation of Islam, is jihad. It's not just chapter 9:29, it says, kill the Christian and Jews, the people of the book. Don't take them as friends. Kill them, fight them wherever they are. But also there's another 164 violent verses in the Quran. Not that's all. There's more. There's around 300 something, but the rest are unclear. You will ask me, what do you mean by that? For example, there is one verse that says, "Don't not forbid what God permitted." You will say, what's wrong with that? But you have to go and read the other Islamic sources to know why this verse was revealed. And the reason this verse was revealed, because Muslims, they just conquer a city, capture women, capture pregnant women, older women, young girls, and the Muslims say, we are not going to touch them. They are too young, or they are married, they are pregnant. We are not going to do anything to them. No, Allah told them to do so, to rape them. Don't forbid what God permitted. It's very evil religion. That's fact. That's Islam. I cannot water that fact. But the majority of Muslims in America, they're coming seeking freedom. They are running from this craziness of Islam. They cannot admit it that this is Islam, but they blame it in their leaders, they blame it in ISIS, they blame it on the Islamic groups, but the fact is Islam is a religion of terrorism. But praise God that the majority of Muslims are very bad Muslims. They don't follow their book, which make them good people, that we can reach out to them. They can become our friends. The majority of Muslims coming to this country are very loving, kind people. I remember I was in San Diego last year and visiting this Muslim refugee family. It was like 11 people lives in two-bedroom apartment in San Diego. I spent over 45 minutes sharing the gospel with the father. And he never objected to me. Usually they object to the deity of Christ. They object to the crucifixion. They object to many other stuff. But he was just listening to me. I said to myself, maybe he's not understanding me. I asked him, why are you not objecting to anything? Do you understand what I'm saying? And he started crying. He told me, George, your message is the message of the people who stretched their hands to us and helped us. The message of the people that brought us to this country. The message of the people fought for us. But those who object to you, they are the ones that they kill us. They are the one persecuted us. They are the one took us out of our houses. How can I object to your message? They are open more than ever before, my friends. It's an opportunity for us to reach out to them. For the last 3-4 years, we've been doing a vacation Bible school in Dearborn, Michigan. Around 160 Muslim kids been coming to memorize Bible verses, to hear about Jesus, to learn from the Bible. They sing Christian songs, memorizing Christian songs. If we did this 5-6 years ago, I don't think any of them would come. What the enemy meant for evil, to kill and persecute our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, God turned it for good. God turned it for good to expose the teaching of Islam, for Muslims to start questioning Islam, for Muslims to seek something different. And many of them are coming to Christ. The church in Syria, the church in Iraq, they are packed with Muslims coming and asking questions. They want to know about our God. My gosh, the number of TV shows, secular Middle Eastern TV shows, comparing the teaching of Christ and the teaching of Jesus, of Muhammad. They start recognizing there's something different. Why Christians are not carrying the sword and start killing us back or fighting us? Why we don't hear about a Christian blowing himself up and killing people at the mosque? Why only Muslims doing that? They start questioning that. Violence is true. But what did Jesus promise us? beautiful life, easy life, to become millionaires and build homes, and the gospel that we hear today on TV, that's not the gospel. Jesus told us to carry our cross and follow him. Jesus told us in the world we're going to have tribulation, but we have to trust that he overcome the world. I heard Brother Francis Chan, I believe his name, he used this rope to explain. He said the rope, imagine there's a big rope, like no ending. This is representing our life. But only there's, he painted the first part in red and said, this is our life in this earth. A lot of time we are consumed in how we work hard here to, because we want to make sure here in retirement we're going to have a better life. But we neglect eternity. My friends, we have opportunity now to share the gospel with this dying world around us. But we're going to have eternity to celebrate with Jesus. We are not going to preach the gospel over there. We don't need to preach the gospel there. There's no one to save anymore. But now, there's a limited time to see these people coming to know Christ. God doesn't need us, but he is willing to use each one of us. When they told Jesus, let your people to stop crying out, he said, if they stop crying out, the rocks will cry out. He does have that ability. But praise God, he's willing to use each one of us to share the gospel message with these people. Some people saying that we worship the same God as a common ground. No, that's an insult to our God to call him the God of Islam. Our God is not the best of all deceivers. What is common ground is you and me before we came to know Christ. We used to not know where we're going to go. We used to have no assurance of salvation. And that's where they are at. Share your testimony. How Jesus changed your life. That's the most powerful part. Print the Sermon on the Mount. The words of Jesus and just give it to them. What is the word of God? Sharper than what? Two-edged sword. There's nothing more powerful than the word of God. I seen a Muslim crying in front of me when he read the Sermon on the Mount. Usually when we invite Muslim men to church for a men's event, like a tea and stuff like that, and we read the entire Sermon on the Mount in Arabic and we read it in English. And they are willing to stay another 5 hours just listening to the word of God. They never seen such a teaching. Love your enemy. Pray for those persecuted. They're doing the comparison inside of them. I don't need to tell them anything. I just read the word of God to them. Print the word of God. Print the Sermon on the Mount and just hand it over to them. If you work for a Muslim or if you have a Muslim friend, look online, search for Islamic holidays. So you know what day is the next holiday. Go ahead and make a package, a candy, a cookie, whatever it is, and include the Sermon on the Mount and just give it to them as a gift. They're going to come and talk to you. They're going to ask you questions. Now you're opening the door for conversation. Get to share the gospel. Don't be afraid. Jesus told us we're going to be persecuted for his namesake. But we have to trust that he overcome the world. We are victorious no matter what. We know we are in the victory side. Amen? Amen? It's not for us to be afraid. It's not. Not even one hair fall off our heads without his permission. See how many permissions he gave? A lot. Okay, in the Gospel of John chapter 10 to 16, it talks about the thief coming to kill and destroy. And this is clearly the description of Islam, coming to kill and destroy. But also Jesus talking about him being the good shepherd, laying his life for his sheep. That's concept. It's not in Islam. We can find in the Quran the word God, Allah is love, 20 times. But it's conditional love. You have to meet his requirement to be loved by him. Not as what the Bible says, that while we are yet sinner, Christ came and died for our sins. They don't have that. Every Muslim in their heart, they know they can never meet his requirement to be loved by him. They cannot be loved by Allah. They know that. Muhammad promised 10 people to go to paradise. Only 10 people. And every one of them, when they were dying, they were so afraid, they are not trusting that promise. The first one, the first successor, Abu Bakr, he said, if one of my foot inside heaven and one out of heaven, I will not trust the deception of Allah. And he was referring to the verse that I just shared with you. They cannot trust the promise that Allah gave to these 10 people. But Muhammad, their prophet himself, he said, even though I am the apostle of Allah, yet I don't know what Allah will do to me. He has no assurance of salvation. But praise God, we have that assurance. That's what we need to share with them, that they can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Don't think it's difficult. Don't think it's hard. You know why? Because it's not our job to change anyone. We have absolutely no ability to change anyone. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to convict them. He's the one who will draw them to himself. We just need to lift him up, just to point to him, and he will do the work. The burden is not in our shoulders. It's in the cross of Jesus. He paid for it in full. It's for us just to point to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will do the work. Amen? Fear. Muslims also have fear. The penalty of leaving Islam is death. Since the day you are born, they are told that Christians are the only ones that don't ever follow them. They always talking about the concept of Islam. You stay a Muslim, you die a Muslim. Always, all your life, you have to be a Muslim. They've been taught that from very little. But also the penalty is death. It's a very high price. That's why it takes long time for Muslims to come to Christ. It is a long journey for them fully to come and follow Christ as the Lord and Savior. It takes between 2 to 8 years of a struggle, of a journey. But you know what? When they overcome that fear, they make amazing Christians. They make amazing Christians. When they recognize it's absolutely worth it to lay down their lives and to be willing to die for Christ. Are we willing to die for Christ? Are we willing to lay down our lives? You can be persecuted today. It's not just your brothers and sisters in China, North Korea, Sudan, Saudi Arabia. All these countries, our brothers and sisters are being persecuted. But why not us? Why not us? We choose to not be persecuted because you can stand at your work and share the gospel. You can share the gospel everywhere you go. You may going to be persecuted. You may going to be losing your job. You may going to be kicked out of school for sharing the word of God. Are you willing to stand for Jesus? Are we willing to stand on behalf of these babies that have been killed every day in this nation? The blood of these innocent babies. Are we willing to say this is wrong? We can be persecuted for his name's sake today in the United States of America. Walking in the streets of Dearborn, Michigan in 2009, they told us we cannot talk about Jesus in the streets of Dearborn, Michigan, United States of America. 2009 in Dearborn, because the majority, or it's going toward that direction to be the majority Muslim city. They control the city. They say we cannot talk about Jesus. We had to fight for 3 years in court until we got to Sixth Circuit Court, and praise God we did fight that fight, because now Muslims are coming to church to hear the gospel message. This is in America. Don't build your hope in this world. We don't belong here. We are here temporary. We are here for a while. Let's be light to the world. Let's share the gospel to those around us. Fear, also not just the fear of violence as Christians we have another fear. What kind of objections they're going to object to? What kind of questions they're going to bring up? How are we going to respond to their objections? My friend, Islam attacks the heart of Christianity by attacking the deity of Jesus Christ. Islam denying Jesus as God, denying Jesus as the Son of God. Even though Islam, the Quran, teaches that Jesus is the word of God. Even though Islam teaches that the Quran is word of God, and you cannot say the word of God being created. If you said the Quran being created, you would be killed, because the Quran is supposed to be the word of God. It's eternal. When they say Jesus is the word of God, that's, I always challenge Muslims, then it is the same thing. The word of God is eternal. You can never say Jesus being created. Muhammad said things and wrote things in the Quran because he heard it from the Christians without understanding it. He put himself in trouble by saying Jesus is the word of God, but that's what the Quran teaches. The Quran teaches that Jesus is sinless, without sin. In chapter 19, verse 19. Also, the Quran teaches that Jesus is the Messiah. If you divide the Quran was revealed in two different periods, in Mecca and Medina, two different cities. In the first 10 years, Muhammad never mentioned Jesus as Messiah until he went to Medina and he started being around Christian people and he started adapting what he hearing to the Quran. And he starts calling Jesus the Messiah without understanding the concept of Messiah, the meaning of Messiah. Also, the Quran claimed that Jesus is with God today. No one can say that Muhammad for sure is with God today. Or they can never say about anyone else that is with God for sure 100% today except Jesus, the son of Mary, according to Islam. But also, Islam teaches that Jesus is coming back to judge the world. And the Quran in other places says only God can judge the world. Even though we have amazing arguments to prove Jesus' deity from the Quran, I don't do that. I don't do that. You know why? Because I don't want to give any credibility to the Quran. What I do, I point to the contradiction in the Quran. Because even though all these five great things about Jesus in the Quran teaches that Jesus is not more than a prophet. And I point to the fact, I ask my Muslim friend, how can Jesus be the Word of God, the Messiah, sinless, he's with God and coming to judge the world, and he's not more than a prophet? There's a problem here, my Muslim friend. There's a contradiction here. Let me show you why Jesus is the Word of God, why Jesus is the Messiah, why Jesus is coming to judge the world. Let me show you from the Word of God, and I take them to the Word of God. I will never give the Quran the credibility to use it as evidence for the deity of Christ, but I show them the problem in their book because I don't want them to think the Quran is another book from God. No, the Quran is not from God. But also they attack the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. What did Paul say? He said, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, our faith is in vain. Islam does attack the heart of Christian faith. If Jesus was never crucified, how can he rise from the dead? Even if Islam, because the Quran is not really clear, the majority of Muslims believe that Jesus did not die, God took someone else and put him in the cross and took Jesus to heaven. That's the interpretation of the idea of the crucifixion in Islam. Majority of Muslims, some Muslims, they believe he was crucified, but he was rescued from the cross. Some. But even if Jesus was crucified according to Islam, but if he is not God and he is not the Son of God, he is not good enough, my friend, to die for our sins. He needs someone to die for him. The Jesus of the Quran, he needs someone to die for him. I don't believe he is the same Jesus of the Bible. I don't believe so because I believe he is a counterfeit Jesus. Satan made this new Jesus to distract people and take the attention from the real Jesus to the different Jesus that cannot save mankind. Some Christians, they're saying, oh, he's the same Jesus, but missing parts and he's incomplete or misunderstood. No. Paul left us no room in the Bible when he talked about the Jewish people that came to Christ and still want to follow the law. He told them, what? Your gospel is a false gospel. It's a different Jesus that you're preaching. That's not the true gospel. And the same thing, I don't believe the Jesus of the Quran. This is a counterfeit Jesus. When we prove the deity of Christ from the Bible, when we prove that the crucifixion from the Bible or history, what they're going to do, they're going to come back and they're going to attack the Word of God. They say, oh, your Bible being corrupted. Your Bible being corrupted. Jesus was never crucified. You added this in the Bible. And Muhammad used to be mentioned in the Bible and you guys took his name out of the Bible. My friend, this is the three arguments they have that that Jesus is not God. This is the three attacks. That's the main attacks they have. Every time we debate a higher scholar, we think they're going to come with something new. But actually, they have the same three objections. Deity of Christ, the crucifixion, and the Bible being corrupted. When I say the deity of Christ, let's include also, let's say four, because they also attack the Trinity. the triune God. But the Trinity is unbelievable, because what's happening in Islam, even though the Quran says Allah is love, according to the Islamic commentators, that if you say God loves, it's offensive. Why? Because if God loves, he has a sense of need, he needs to love someone. If the God of Islam is true, it's only one God, not triune God, I will agree. But praise God for the triune God that we have, that the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit always being in friendship, relationship, all in eternity. They love each other. They have absolutely no need for us. The answer in our perfect God, complete God. The God of Islam cannot love. It's absolutely true, because if he's just one, it makes sense. He cannot love anyone, because otherwise he's going to change. He's going to have a sense of need. But praise God for the Trinity. Praise God for our triune God. Now, they attacked the Bible being corrupted. Muhammad mentioned in the Bible. What about the idea of the crucifixion, that God took Jesus and put someone else on the cross? Think with me, my Muslim friend. Imagine if you are one of Jesus' disciples and you saw that action, that Jesus was crucified in front of your eyes, but he did not know that God took him and put someone else on the cross. You as a disciple, you went with the rest of the disciples, you went preaching that gospel, and all of them but John killed for preaching that gospel. Why? Because Allah deceived you. Does that make sense to you, my Muslim friend? How can I trust a God like that, deceive the best followers of Jesus, his prophet? How can I trust a God like that? It doesn't make any sense that God would take Jesus and put someone else on the cross. What did he accomplish? Ask them what Allah accomplished by sending Jesus, according to Islam. If they say nothing, is good. But actually, he established the largest cult in the world. It's called Christianity. I always ask them, is the crucifixion a lie? They will say, yes. Who invented the lie, Satan or God? They will say, Satan. But when you go to the Quran, it's not Satan. It's God invented this lie. He has deceived his own people. Let them talk to you about what Allah accomplished by sending Jesus. They have absolutely nothing to give you. But in the end, tell them, would you allow me to tell you what God accomplished by sending Jesus? Always give them the time to speak. Don't interrupt them. Let them talk. But they're going to hear you in the end. Share the gospel. Don't ever hesitate to share the gospel. But Muslims, we have the fear of violence. We have the fear of what kind of arguments. But I'm telling you, believe me, the arguments is not a big deal. Study the word of God. We are called, all of us, to be apologists, which it means that verse in 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an answer. The word answer here is apologia, is defense. We are all called to defend the word of God, to defend the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, to defend our Lord and Savior. We are all called that. Study the word of God, and there's no one can stand against you. You will be able to give an answer to every one of them. Dealing with the deity of Christ is just perfect when you study that subject, because you're going to be able to respond to those Jehovah's Witnesses knocking at your door, or Mormonism. All of them, they're coming all the way to our doors. Be ready. The same response is just perfect to use even with the Muslim people. They're nothing special. But also Muslims not just have the violent fear of if they left Islam, they would be killed. They also have a different fear. The only unforgivable sin in Islam, guess what? The only unforgivable sin in Islam is the only salvation for us, is to believe Jesus is God. The only unforgivable sin. It's called shirk. Because when we say Jesus is God, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, they think we believe in multiple gods, and that's considered unforgivable sin. Especially to say Jesus is God. A man, he's God, that's unforgivable. Now, they've been taught this all their life since they are babies, that do not accept Jesus as God. This is the unforgivable. Allah will never forgive you, even if you want to repent. He will never forgive you if you believe Jesus is God. See why it's hard? It is absolutely attack from the enemy. Absolutely. If Jesus was not God, there was no need for Satan to come with a religion to attack his deity. If Jesus did not die on the cross, there was no need for Satan to come and attack, bring a religion that attack that crucifixion and the cross for our sins. It's absolutely, it's the work of the devil. Now, Muslims are coming to Christ? Absolutely. We see many, many Muslims coming to Christ. It takes, as I told you, years for them to come to Christ. But it's not our job when. Because we don't know when God started with that individual through situation, through divorce, through persecution, through moving to the United States, through seeing Christians, how God behaving, people like they live Christ and they being attracted by that. You don't know how God started with that individual. Maybe it's time right now for us to get the fruits, or maybe time is just for us to plant the seeds. Just preach the word of God and let God do the rest. But be faithful, pray for them. Because when we pray, God works. And my friend, when these people share their heart with you, when they talk about how what they went through in the Middle East, please be attention, listen to them. They're human. They're not a project. They're not just something that you get a duty that you have to do and that's it. No. Build that friendship with them. But you do need to be careful, because some organizations and some churches, they're building that friendship, and friendship become the goal, and they become so afraid to offend them. They're so afraid to talk about Jesus. They want that friendship. Friendship is not the goal. The goal is to bring them to know Christ as a Lord and Savior. The goal to see them one day in heaven with us, to preach the gospel of Jesus to them. But remember, they're not a project. Let's build that friendship. If you know, there's different setting. There's different, like when I'm standing in front of the mosque, I'm not going to be able to build that friendship, in-depth friendship with each one of these people in the mosque. I'm going to just be planting the seeds. I'm going to just throw the seeds. And if God brought someone asking me a question, I will invest the time and talk to him, that individual. But if he's your boss at work, or next door neighbor, and or the gas station cashier that you go to, I used to go, when I was in Anaheim, I usually, every while for a few months, I go to the same gas station to get to know that gas station cashier and get exchange the gospel with him and start talking to him. He start recognize me by name, and he will say hi. And when there's Islamic holidays, I will give them a gifts and give them the gospel message. And we will start that conversation with each other. But if you have that opportunity, you know there's some Muslim with you at work or at school or next door, build that friendship. Build that friendship and pray regularly for them. Pray. Pray God will open the door. Pray for opportunities. But when you hear their pain or whatever they're going through, please don't hesitate to offer to pray for them in the end. My friend, 99% of the Muslims, when I ask them, can I pray for you, they will say yes. But don't ever be ashamed to pray in Jesus' name. Pray in Jesus' name. Some Christians, they want to be nice to them. They don't want to offend them. They will start saying in God's name or in Allah's name. That's not acceptable. When this prayer gets answered, if you're praying in Allah's name or as a name, how are they going to recognize the difference? Pray in Jesus' name, because when that prayer is answered, they're going to recognize, wow, their God answers prayer. I remember this kid, his name is Karar. When our team was going door to door in Dearborn, Michigan, once he opened the door, he ran toward his mom's and he unveiled his mom's arm, and there was bruises and beating and blood from the husband that beating her, abusing her. The husband kept the entire family illegally in the country in order to control them. If they don't want to obey him, he will report them and they will deport them back to Iraq. A daughter, 15 years old, left the house 2 years prior to that day. But that day, they get to recognize that they have the right to call the police and all that, and they did dealt with that situation. But Karar prayed to accept Christ as the Lord and Savior. He wanted something different. He chose to follow Jesus that day. And I'm sure it is the work of the Holy Spirit that convicted him. draw him to the Father, open his heart. We can do absolutely nothing. But in Christmas Day, 6 months later, he brought his entire family. He turned on the Jesus film, the Gospel of Luke, as a movie, and he told them, let's watch Jesus' story from the Bible. After they watched it, he prayed a prayer. He said, Jesus, if you want to give me a Christmas gift, bring my sister back. And he prayed in Jesus' name. And the first thing in the morning the next day, the door is knocking and the sister coming back home. And the entire family get to see that Jesus is able to answer prayers. And they were so open to the gospel message after that. Don't lose that opportunity. Always offer to pray for them. And pray in Jesus' name. And pray for them. Pray for them faithfully and regularly to see them coming to Christ. I usually start with the Muslim, the Bible or the Quran. Because one of them have to be true. Why? They contradict each other. They cannot be both true. Who Jesus is Jesus died on the cross, the way of salvation. Everything is different. But before you compare the two, make sure that you give them, let them know, we are not comparing a book with a book. It's not one book. The Bible is books. Give them some history about the Bible. 1,500 years of revelation, 40 different prophets, 3 different continents, 3 different languages. 700 years before Jesus even coming to the world, prophet Isaiah prophesying about him coming. Show them the different, from the book of Isaiah, even if we don't have the manuscripts for the New Testament, we can prove in Jesus' deity, we can prove the crucifixion of Christ from Isaiah 53. We can show them that stuff, that how we can trust the word of God and then do the comparison. Should we believe all these books or one book by one prophet in 2 different periods in 1 language and contradicting each other? Which ones should we trust? All these books, all these prophets, or one book? Don't let them think it's just one book, the Bible. Just one, they assuming it's just one prophet. Or that they don't know what the Bible contains. Let them know it is the books of the prophets. It's the Torah of Moses. It's the Psalms of David. Explain to them these things about the Bible to know what you have. A couple of weeks ago, I explained that to one of the Muslims at the mosque. And he took my Bible, actually the John MacArthur Bible with commentary in Arabic. He took it and he said, I'm not going to give you this. He refused to give it to me. I said, praise God, take it. It's yours. And I'm just praying that God would just open his heart as he's reading the word of God. But after that, you can do the comparison. The Quran claimed to be eternal, unchanged, perfect. Is that true? Is the Quran eternal, perfect, unchanged? That's what the Quran claimed. Can we say about the Bible, the physical Bible we have, eternal, unchanged, perfect? There's many different manuscripts. There's variances between the manuscripts. But the Bible never claimed these 3 claims. Even the Bible can admit that I do believe the inspiration of the Word of God is perfect. I do believe the message we have in the Bible is perfect message. But I do believe there's variances between the different manuscripts that they found older and newer. And we are faithful to look and compare and see and study these manuscripts. But praise God, there's no book in the world that has evidence more than the Word of God. Like the Old Testament, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls 200 years before Jesus, 800 years before Muhammad, matches what we have today. The only thing is missing is the book of Esther. What about the New Testament? We have over 5,800 manuscripts for the New Testament alone. There's no, if we cannot trust the Bible, there's nothing else we can trust. My gosh, the evidence is so overwhelming. Even if we don't have any of these manuscripts from the early church fathers, just as they write letters to each other, they quoting always, they write verses from the Bible, from their letters, we can put the entire Bible back again together. Wow. The earlier manuscripts we have, they go 5 years to 25 years after Apostle John's death. There's no book has that kind of evidence. But still, we cannot say it's eternal, like the Book of Mormons claiming coming from heaven, the Muslims claiming coming from heaven, but we can see it's not. We know now about the Quran. Now, a lot of them, they're going to refer to the Book of Hebrew. Oh, you don't know who's the author of that. That's a big mistake when we say Paul is the author or this is the author. The author is the Holy Spirit. This man writing the word of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were like the pen in the hand of God. There's no place for corruption. Always refer to the fact that we know the author is the Holy Spirit. Now, what about the Quran? Brother, would you help me in the back there? I don't know if you can be able to see it. Aisha.
Aisha said, the verse of stoning was revealed, and the paper was with me under my pillow. When the messenger of Allah died, we were preoccupied with his death, and a tame sheep came in and ate it.
Guess what? These verses are not longer in the Quran. Why? Because a sheep ate it. And they're telling me the Quran is perfect. And the first thing when you talk to Muslims, they're going to tell you, you have many Bibles. We have one perfect Quran. But this Quran is not, it doesn't have these passages because a sheep ate it. Now, continue, brother.
Surah 33:6 declares that the prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves, and his wives are their mothers.
Ubay ibn Ka'b.
Ubay ibn Ka'b, Muhammad's top student, and other early Muslims held that phrase, and he is the father of them, is missing from this verse.
It's not longer in that verse. And Ubay ibn Ka'b is a very key individual. Muhammad, because the word Quran, it means to recite, to memorize. When the Quran talked about the people of the book, it always meant Christian and Jews. It never meant Muslims because there was no book it called the Quran. It was meant to be memorized only. But when they start killing each other, they became afraid they're going to lose it. They start writing it down. Years after, like they started during Muhammad, but they did not put it together until after his death. But Ubay ibn Ka'b, Muhammad, he said, if you forgot the Quran, go to him. He's the best memorizer. And he is disagreeing. He disagrees with the Quran they have today. Verses missing, phrases missing, and chapters missing. Abu Musa, one of Muhammad's disciples, says due to laziness, because they don't want to memorize the Quran, they lost two chapters of the Quran. And still they come to me and say, the Quran is perfect and you have many Bibles. We found the two chapters. We're doing our own translation of the Quran. We're putting the Quran together again. And we're adding these two chapters back. But we do an apologetics Quran, an accurate translation. The reason is around 25,000 Americans every year converting to Islam because they are deceived with the watered-down translations of the Quran. That's why we took the task of translating the Quran to make it an accurate translation. Please keep us in prayer to be able to finish this task. We have how many manuscripts for the New Testament? Over 5,800. They have six manuscripts for the Quran. Six manuscripts, and they tell me they have perfect Quran. And guess what? These six manuscripts, according to these two scholars from Turkey, that none of them is Osmanic. What does it mean, Osmanic? Uthman is the third successor. He's the one who took the task of collecting the Quran. They say none of them matches the authorized Quran that they're printing all across the world. This Quran they have in every mosque across the world, they have no manuscript. Zero. Perfect Quran. Rice University, Dr. Daniel, he had access to these manuscripts and he came with this conclusion. There is taping, inserting words, erasing words, erasing and overriding, overriding without erasing. And they still tell me they have perfect Quran and we have many different Bibles. When they keep telling you they have many, you have many Bibles, always don't assume what they meant by that. You always ask them, what do you mean by that? Because sometimes they meant Gospel of John, Matthew, Luke, Mark. That's what they think sometimes. That's four different Bibles. And I love it if that's the case, because you can take advantage to explain the word gospel. Even though The Quran mentioned the gospel, the Injil, the New Testament in the Quran, but they used the Greek word, and that's why they are unfamiliar with the meaning of it. They don't know what does it mean, the gospel. Take advantage of that objection. If it was the gospels, tell them, no, we have only one gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that Jesus came to this world to die for our sins. But this is for eyewitnesses. When I give them the gospel of John, I always say the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Apostle John. Always use the gospel of Jesus when you're talking to Muslims. Otherwise, they will tell you, no, we want the gospel of Jesus. We don't want the gospel of John. Then, my friends, the Quran is not eternal. The Quran is not perfect. The Quran has been changed. Now, if we... the Bible, we cannot say it's eternal, then even the Bible cannot meet that challenge of the Quran that to be eternal, perfect, unchanged. But who is the eternal? Which one of us, we or them, have the eternal Word of God? We still have the eternal Word of God because according to the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God that can meet the requirement and the claims of the Quran. To be eternal, perfect, unchanged. Not just the Bible believe that, teaching that, but even the Quran that saying the Messiah, the son of Mary, is but apostle of God and his word. And said the angel talking to Mary that I'm only messenger of the Lord and bestow thee a holy or sinless son. That's chapter 19, verse 19. According to the Quran, Jesus is the perfect, sinless, perfect Word of God. And Word of God is eternal. God created the world by his word. But still, I will take them to the contradiction. Like even in verse here, verse 4, 171, it says, Jesus, but he's not more. But after that, and his word. He's apostle, he's just a messenger. But his word, what a contradiction. If Jesus is the word of God, he is more than just a prophet. Then the conclusion is the Quran is not eternal, Jesus is. The Quran is not perfect, Jesus is. The Quran has been changed, Jesus never changes. Amen? But now, we said about, we're going to start with them, with this image here. Which one is the true word of God? If this is the part I want you to remember, forget about all the things you heard. This is the part you're going to go with. If the Bible is a true word of God, the Quran cannot be word of God because contradict the word of God. What if the Bible been corrupted? Can the Quran be word of God? Let's see. The Quran says, and let the people of the gospel, the Christians, judge by what Allah has revealed therein in the gospel. Allah telling us in the Quran, telling Muhammad, don't judge the Christians. Let them judge by the gospel. If the gospel might be corrupted, my Muslim friend, Allah telling us to be judged by it? It seems to me the gospel is not being corrupted. And the second verse, all people of scripture, or sometimes it's translated people of the book, means Christian and Jews. You are on nothing until you uphold the Torah and the gospel and what has been revealed to you from your Lord, which is the Psalms, according to the commentary. We are on nothing until you uphold. What does it mean, uphold? They say, oh, we believe in the Bible. No, 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 no. It did not say believe. It say uphold, to follow, to obey. If my Muslim friend, if the Bible been corrupted, how can I obey it? Where is it? Show me the original one. Show me the real one for me to obey it. Unless if this verse... it's not good anymore. You need to take it out of the Quran. You're telling me the Quran is good until the day of judgment, but it seems like I cannot follow it today. And in chapter 6, verse 115, it says, none can alter his words. Make sure you emphasize the S. It's not just one word, one Bible, one Quran. No, all his books. But the problem we have, if the Bible not being corrupted, we cannot except the Quran because contradict the Quran. And if the Bible being corrupted, still the Quran is wrong because the Quran says no one can change God's words and the Bible being changed. How can I follow? If I follow the Quran, it says, oh, people of the scripture, you are on nothing until you uphold the Torah. If I follow the Bible, I will come to the conclusion that what? The Quran is false. No matter what, the Quran is not true word of God. No matter what, it's not an option. The Quran is not an option for mankind to follow. If you just focus on this two passages only, just keep these two references with you, and you can always turn this verse to these verses in your cell phone, chapter 5, verse 68, and chapter 6, 115. No matter what objection they come to you, you need to be ready after you give them the answer from the word of God. And if they tell you the Bible being corrupted, tell them, show me where in the Quran it says the Bible being corrupted. I can show you from the Quran that the Bible is not being corrupted. Their only hope is the Quran is a perfect book. Muslims claim that, Islam claim that they have a perfect book. Guess what? We have a perfect Savior. And they need that perfect Savior because as we see in the Quran, it's not perfect. They need to hear the word of God. They need us to go to them to share the gospel with them. Would you join us? If you have Muslim friends and you want to talk to me afterward, please come and I would love to help you in how to respond to their arguments, and I can give you resources, that you, websites or material, you can give it to them. But we need to take advantage of this opportunity we have, that God brought these people from all over the world to us here. If I am in President Trump's place, I will absolutely do exactly what he's doing, because his job and task to keep us safe as a president. But as Christians, if God allowed them already here, we need not to be afraid. We need to get out of our comfort zone and reach out to these people. Every Denny's in this city, three cities, the high desert, every Denny's owned by Muslims here. Go by the freeway, all this is stereo or they put radio and speakers in your, what they call them, stereo shops, whatever it is, they're owned by Muslims. A lot of the gas stations in the area owned by Muslims. You will see them. Go to State of Brother by Just Ranch. There is a Muslim lady always there. You can see them. They are all around us. And I promise you, maybe you did not recognize them before. From now on, I'm praying that wherever you go, God will tell you, here, a Muslim, you need to share the gospel with. We have to recognize these people. We have to know. And you know what? Not just Muslims. Our job is to be ambassadors for Christ and to share the gospel. Maybe it's a family member that doesn't know the Lord, or Jehovah's Witnesses that coming at your door, with whoever God bringing your way, share the gospel. But to learn these things is very important, because maybe you're flying to out of state to somewhere and God will bring a Muslim to happen to be next to you. What an opportunity, 4 hours of nowhere, just sitting next to you. They cannot run anywhere, and you share the gospel with. In Orange County, we work with Christian Korean doctors. We do acupuncture as an outreach. It's awesome because they lay down on the table. They have needles all around them. They cannot go anywhere, and we get to share the gospel with them. We actually have TV screen right in front of them where they watch the Gospel of Luke as a movie. They have to. There's no other way. But praise God, we're seeing many, many people coming to know Christ as we share the gospel. Some people say, oh, just live Christ, or just tell them Jesus loves them. But you know what? If you tell them Jesus loves them, that's just half truth. Because they may gonna face Jesus as the Lion of Judah, the judge that's gonna come and judge the world. You have to tell them. Sometimes I have to renew their fear from a false God to a fear of a true God. Because they think Jesus, we hear Christians always tell me Jesus loves me, then he died for the whole world and he died for me too. Then it's okay if he's Christian, it's true. I will face him. He will love me anyway. And I better watch it because Allah is very angry God. Just in case he is the true God, I want to make sure. That's why a lot of time when we say Jesus loves me and Jesus died for me, we think that Jesus died for us, we can do whatever we want. It's a license for sin. Because sadly, when they see the world around us, they think this is all Christianity. In Islam, they don't separate between people, society, and government. Everything is one. When they look at Madonna dancing in her underwear, wearing a cross, they think this is Christianity. When they see abortion, homosexuality, they think this is Christianity. When they ask you, are you Christian? This is not a question you answer yes or no. Take the time to tell him, ask him, what do you mean by that? Just because I was born in a Christian parents, does not make me Christian. Share your testimony. Let them see the difference between you and the people around us. When they see these guys walking in the street with their pants halfway down and earrings and tattoos. And sadly, this is the reason a lot of young girls converting to Islam. Because young Muslim men are very responsible getting their PhD while our young guys, what they doing? And that's why a lot of young girls getting married to a Muslim man and converting to Islam. Not knowing what Islam teaches about women. Muhammad, he said he saw a vision of hell and the majority were women. Muhammad said women are unclean and dirty and they will never complete Islam perfectly. He ordered the beating of wives. The black people in Islam teaches that if you just assume that Muhammad is black, he should be killed. But majority of African American in prison system, they're converting to Islam because they're being taught that Islam is the black man religion. It's very sad. Muhammad, he said, if you dream about the black lady, that's mean a curse coming to you. Muhammad said, black people, he called them raisin heads. Muhammad also, he used to own a slave black guy. His name is Mahran. He made him carry 5 donkeys load and he called him the ship of the desert, meaning camel. 2.5 million Christian black in Sudan being killed in the name of Islam. Around 7 years ago, there's something called Janjaweed in Darfur. Maybe you heard the name Darfur, that city on the media. At that time, there was a big genocide going on. The Darfur people were helping the northern Sudanese to kill the Christians in the south. They stopped the war in the south. Now the Arab Muslims turned against the African Muslims. In one day, the Janjaweed, it means demons on horses. Genie, in the cartoon movies, genie, it means demons. In Arabic, it means demons. But genie is a demon that heard the Quran and became a Muslim. In the parliament of Sudan, they have 3 empty seats for jinn to empower them. And since they took the government, nothing but blood, because they pray to this genie. But horses, demons and horses, in one day they went, send the military, killing 3,000 black babies, burning them because they're African blood, burning them to death, raping the women in front of their husband to make them pregnant with Arabic blood, and killing the husbands in front of their wives. Someone will tell me it's not Islam, but the same action is exactly being done by the first early Muslims during the time of Muhammad. The same exact actions described in the books. It's very sad, but it's time for us to stand. It's time for us to be equipped. One of the main objections that leading many Americans to Islam, when they show them, I heard that many Americans, that I heard them saying their testimonies, how they became Muslims. The Muslim would give them a Bible. Show me the word Trinity in the Bible. Oh, it's not there. And they convert to Islam. Muslims believe in Tawheed, and we believe in Trinity. If a Muslim coming to use that with me, I would tell him, are you ready to become an atheist? Why? Show me the word Tawheed in the Quran. It's not there. The word Tawheed is not in the Quran. We have to equip our new generation. There's MSA, Muslim Student Association, ready in every campus across America to convert our young people to Islam. We have to equip our young people to be ready to give an answer. Amen? Let's pray. But as we pray, I would like to share this story with you. 2 Japanese were killed by ISIS. Maybe you heard about them in the media a few years ago. One of them did not know the Lord. One of them knew the Lord. They get to meet each other. They get to, for the first time, 4 months before they were killed. And the Christian shared the gospel with the non-Christian friend. But the one is not a Christian. He lost hope in this world. He put himself in dangerous places. He ended in the hand of ISIS, and he chose to do that because he wanted to end his life. His Christian friend heard about that. He saw it in the news. And he cried to the Lord, would you give me one more chance to share the gospel with my friend? would you give me one more chance to go and meet him and find him and share the gospel with him? He flew to Turkey. He crossed the border to Syria. He was arrested. He was willing to lay down his life because he learned from our Master Jesus that he laid down his life for us. Are we willing to go out of our comfort zone? Are we willing to lay down our life or to preach the gospel? Are we willing to be persecuted for Christ's sake? Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you give us a heart full of compassion toward these people, Lord. I pray that you give us your eyes to see them as sheep without shepherd, as lost without hope, Lord. Lord, we know in the Gospel of John, you said you have other sheep and you want to bring them also, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will draw us to these people that open to the gospel, Lord, that the ones you are working in their hearts, Lord Jesus. I pray that you may give us the courage to stand and share the gospel. I pray that help us to overcome the fear, Lord Jesus. Lord, you simply told us that if we lack something to ask you, and we are asking you, Lord, to give us love, to give us boldness to share the gospel, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to recognize the dangerous situation these people are at. They're going for eternity in hell without you. Lord, I pray that help us to stand and share your word. Help us to recognize why we are here in this world, Lord. But Lord, as we mentioned Iraq and Syria, I pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Iraq and Syria right now. I pray for our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world in prison chains, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you be with them, Lord. Let them know that you are right beside them, Lord Jesus, that you're going to give them the power and strength to go through it, Lord. Lord, I pray for our enemy as your word, as you said, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Lord, I pray for the leaders of ISIS. I pray for the leaders of Hamas. I pray for the leaders of Al-Shabaab. I pray for the leaders of Hezbollah. I pray for the leaders of all this Islamic terrorists, Boko Haram and others. I pray for nothing but no less than their salvation, Lord. Lord, you are the same. You are the one changed Paul, Lord, and you are able to change them as well, Lord. I pray they will see nothing but the blood of those that they killed, Lord Jesus. I pray that you may convict them of their sin, Lord. I pray that they may bow down and cry out to you for forgiveness, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for the word that you're giving us, Lord. Because we have absolutely nothing need for anything else besides your word, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that's in us, that can empower us and can use us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that you are always the same today, yesterday and today and forever, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you may use us in these last days, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this church, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the process of buying a new building. I pray, Lord, as they're planning all these things, Lord, that you will direct, Lord Jesus, and shut any door not from you, Lord, and open the doors that from you, Lord. We just thank you so much, Lord, for this place, and I pray that you may continue to use this church. I pray, Lord, for the elders, for the pastors, Lord, empower them. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.